Hey y'all, it's Jonathan. As many of you may already know, I'm a certified hypnotherapist. I specialize in past life regression, speaking with the higher self, and all types of healing. Emotional, psychological, and even physical healing can occur within just one session. Most hypnotherapists charge anywhere from $300 to $700 per session, and I believe that's just an astronomical price. I want to make it to where anybody can afford such a wonderful once-in-a-lifetime experience. For just $100, you could visit a past life, speak with your higher self, and experience a world you never thought existed. If you're interested or have any questions, please email me at cultofconspiracypodcast@yahoo.com. Welcome to the show. This is the Cult of Conspiracy, and my name is Jonathan.
I'm Jacob.
And today we have on a guest that it has been a long time since we've had you on the show, John McCluckey. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. I've been a huge fan, and just watching you grow the show is just amazing. It's so good to watch, man.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And, you know, I think it's just a little bit of persistence. You know what I mean? It's just like, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Okay. A little persistence. My English is not great.
A little persistence, a little perseverance.
Perseverance. You know? I think that's the right word. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just been sticking with it. I think if you legit enjoy doing what you do, it's never a job. And this has never felt like a job to me.
No, this is still 100% passion project from the word go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. And it's just fun. As long as you're having fun with it.
Yeah, oh, dude.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's fun every single time. It's never felt, even with the editing and all that stuff, I'm like, dude, I love this. I love being able to grow the channel and all that. But anyway, enough about my life. let's get into you a little bit, John. So now, if you want, do you want to remind the people who you are and what you do?
I'm a hypnotherapist. So that in itself is pretty fun, just helping people with all sorts of things in their life. And but I kind of specialize in past life therapy and QHHT, which is a lady, Dolores Cannon, created. And I sort of molded myself down that track, which is really fun. It's super fun. It's all about finding the answers to the universe, basically. So it goes right up your track with conspiracies and things like that. So people will actually find out. So what we do is we'll put them in a trance, and then we'll contact their subconscious or higher self, call it whatever you want, that can see things from a much higher perspective. Yeah. So then we get all the information about all the conspiracies and all the fun stuff and that's going on in the world and the universe.
It's fun.
That's awesome.
It's super fun.
It's the most fun. Like, I swear, every time I do a session with somebody, I'm always like, I'm having as much fun with this as you are. Like, because I feel like I just got a big old bowl of popcorn and I'm seeing like a movie that has just come out that nobody's seen, and I'm the only one that gets to see it. That's like how I feel about
tickets.
It. Yeah. And I just want to, like, I want to ask as many details because I want to be there with you, you know? And it's just like, outside of, like, you know, how cool it is and everything, there's also like a bunch of like cool information that you can kind of stumble across. I mean, I've stumbled across quite a lot. Do you have a story that maybe that you can share that maybe one of the first things that comes to your mind?
I have sessions all the time, and they come and go. But I remember I had a top physician come in a couple of weeks ago in the country. And he just wanted to find out a few things about his life and just see what was going on the bigger picture, because he was a physician. So he wanted to know what was going on with a few things with, you know, the epidemic and all that sort of stuff, just from a bigger, from a higher perspective. So he was actually, because he was so logical, he was really a logical person. So then under hypnosis, he actually started channeling which was super cool. But he actually channeled an ET. And it was super cool because he was like, there's this ET here, man, and he really wants to talk. He's just like so enthusiastic to talk. And then next minute, he started channeling the ET. And the ET was giving him all the answers to all the questions that he had because he was so curious. And then usually about every 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes, his logical mind would pop back in and he'd be like, man, this is the weirdest thing. This is so weird. Like, I don't know what's going on here. And then the ET would just go, would sort of take over. Yeah. Whoa. But it's always fun and it's always interesting. And people are so scared of doing this, but it's always so loving and it's just fun. Yeah. There's nothing ever in anything that ever bad happens or, you know, nothing ever scary.
Yeah, I've never had anything bad or anything scary happen. It's all very peaceful. Never. Honestly, dude, like, it's not... This is what I always tell people. I'm not going to make you dance like a dog and bark like a frog. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not going to make you do all that.
Not unless they want us to.
Unless you want to, you know, we can take it there and get weird.
I can play tricks on them if they want me to, yeah. Because people actually want me to.
So,
okay, no problem.
All right, John, how long have you been doing this professionally?
Professionally since 2017. So it's coming up to 5 years now.
So is this your full-time job?
This is my full-time. This is what I do all day, every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
I'm very jealous. Super cool. I'm very jealous. I hope to eventually get to that point where I can do it every day.
So my background as far as hypnosis goes is minimal at best. Okay. I saw Jonathan hypnotize my brother once before because he, along with myself, a little more on the skeptic side when it comes to that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But although I do believe the hypnosis is real, I believe it is absolutely 1000% a real thing that happens. Past life regression is kind of where things get a little fuzzy for me for not really religious beliefs, but even under my own understanding, I just don't get the premise behind it. I have my own theories behind that.
Yep.
But I am very curious, how often do you get clients that, okay, for instance, let's go off of a very basic example. They want to quit smoking and they want to get hypnotized to kick that habit. How often does that happen?
Well, lots. But I'd do a clinical session for that. So I can get someone to stop smoking and it takes me about an hour. Yeah.
Wow.
Which
really?
Is really cool. That's what actually got me interested in hypnosis in the first place, because I'm such a curious person that I really wanted to know how a hypnotherapist could get somebody to stop smoking. They've been smoking for 40 years and a hypnotherapist can get somebody to stop smoking in an hour. I really wanted to know how they did it. Yeah. But now that I know how to do it, it's pretty simple. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's cool. It's really cool. It's really rewarding. Yeah. When you see people like 3 or 4 months or 6 months later, or they give you a text and like, oh my God, thank you so much. You know, it's been 6 months since I've had a smoke and I just don't even feel like it. I don't want it. It's almost like we turn a switch on, but we just turn it off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah. The mind is so powerful. It's all in the mind. So powerful.
And I love that the birds were even, you know, singing in the background. They love this topic too. You know what I mean?
Totally. It's the universe going, yes, yes.
Yes. Speak the truth, baby. I've had a bunch of really cool / weird sessions, things that will like surprise you. Certain people will have, past lives that, you know, like Dolores Cannon says, the digging potatoes lives. Not everybody was Cleopatra. Not everybody was JFK. You know, it's always something like maybe they were just somebody living out on a farm and they just lived a very simple life. And so there was a person who was, you know, kind of living that simple life and nothing wrong with that. It was just a basic life. And so towards the end, as I'm trying to contact the subconscious, she starts channeling her mom, dude. And I was not expecting this. And her mom, you know, unfortunately passed away, you know, years before all this. And so she's like it was so weird because it was like her mom was front and center, but she was kind of like back in the corner of the room. That's the way like I pictured it or whatever. And so it was like
just observing.
Yeah. And so her mom was talking, but she's crying the entire time.
She'd be bawling her eyes out.
I'm like, oh my God, this is so surreal. How is this? How I don't question it anymore. Like, I don't look at that like it's fake, but whenever somebody starts just bawling, crying over, I mean, dude, you can't fake those emotions whenever you're hypnotized like that.
No.
And so there's something to it. And so whenever I see stuff like that, it just makes me feel like I'm doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, like I'm not playing, I'm not tinkering into somebody's mind or anything like that. It's like you're getting a chance to, you know, see that again, like something that you probably wouldn't unless you were dreaming, I guess.
But it's the same, like you said, it's like you're doing it with a pure intention. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're not doing it to fuck with people. You're doing this and you're helping people through whatever they're going through.
It's so healing. Like that session would change that woman's life. It'll just change her life. Yeah.
Big
one, even if you're not religious, or because I'm certainly not religious at all. But I'm quite spiritual, which is different. So right. I believe that there's a greater force, but I don't call it God or anything like that. I just believe in the universe. I just see it as the universe. Yeah.
Okay.
So for that woman there, like that would just open up the channel for her that her mum's not actually gone. She's just changed forms. So she might have left the physical body, but her mum was right there. And I bet you anything you want that her mum would have told her something that she wouldn't have known, or that woman wouldn't have even thought of. So she couldn't even make that up if she tried. Like that would have been her mum.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And those sessions are actually my favorite because they're the most healing.
Yes. And it was she was there with in the presence of her mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just that she's getting these words. It's like, she's there, and this kind of all really dials into like the ether, you know, like if you look at energy, it can't be created nor destroyed.
Right.
If there is the ether, I believe it is. John, how do you feel about the ether?
The ether is the universe.
I agree.
That's how I've. Yeah, it may not be all of the universe, but it's definitely a big part of the universe.
Almost like the fabric of the universe a little bit. Like, and everybody's got their own little thread and part of this in this beautiful tapestry of life.
Absolutely.
And so I think that, I don't know, dude, I just believe all of it. I think that all of it is extremely healing. I think that as far as the ether goes, I think that we only have, what, 5 senses, right? There's things that go way beyond what our mind can perceive.
Absolutely.
And so, of course, the ether is definitely possible. I mean, dogs can hear things from miles away. Cats can see ghosts. I mean, surely there's something else out there that we can't perceive.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
I mean, you look at just our range, even of our 5 senses that we know we have, like sound, for instance, right? Bats can hear way higher decibels and frequencies than we can. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's just of the 5 senses that we have. And I was actually having this conversation with some guys at work yesterday. All right. So basically, we know that the math equates to where there is at least 13 dimensions, right?
Okay.
But we live in the 3-dimensional plane. How do you explain a 4th-dimensional sense to a 3-dimensional person? That'd be like trying to explain color to a blind person.
Same thing.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, absolutely on that.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so, John, I mean, I really just love, you know, talking about this kind of stuff. And you're the person that got me into this whole hypnotherapy thing in the first place. I remember the conversation. Like, I just called him one night. It was like super late. Of course, he lives in Australia, so that's big time difference. But
right.
But I remember calling you or something like that. And I was like, man, I'm just, I'm, you know, thinking about doing this real estate thing. I already did the real estate course and all that stuff, but I'm so interested in this hypnotherapy. Like, I really want to do it that way you talk about it. And I was like, man, it's so crazy that you can live off of doing something like this. And, and you were like, dude, just do it. Like, I know, like, it's clear that you want to. Like, what are you holding back for? So,
what do you need permission from me for?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just needed somebody to push me in that direction.
The only thing that'll ever stop anybody from achieving anything in their life is either fear or doubt. That's the only 2 emotions that'll stop anybody.
Absolutely. And that's something that also comes through within these sessions is that, you know, the entire world is so full of fear. It doesn't matter. You go on social media, you go on the news, you talk to your Aunt Susan. She's going to tell you something. Oh, my God, did you hear about this new outbreak of so-and-so? Right. And it's never
really. The
world
is full of fear.
It's all full of fear. But whenever you go and you're you know, I mean, it's you're hypnotized, but I see it as like a guided meditation personally. That's the way I look at it. And that's the way I perceive it anyway.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like a personally guided meditation. Whenever you're there and you're in that zone, dude, and you're kind of just up there playing in the universe or whatever is going on with each individual person, you see that there's absolutely nothing to fear. And that's the most beautiful thing about all of it. And that's really what I want this whole show to be. It's kind of like, you know, just taking the curtain off and seeing the little old man pretending to be the wizard.
Yep.
You know, like it's just bells and whistles. There's right. Nothing really going on. There's nothing to be scared of. And so I think if we can get out of this fearful stage and just stay in a like in a level-minded mindset, oh my God, like the advances that we can make just as a civilization would be unreal.
Oh yeah.
It all starts off with the individual, though.
Indeed.
Yeah, you got to want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
You got to kind of want to do it.
Really, the only thing that people are scared of is their own emotions. They're scared of themselves. They're scared of feeling something. That's what it comes down to. Oh, I can't do that. Why not? When you really dig, it's because they don't want to feel a feeling. And that feeling is perceived as negative, so they'll stop.
Right.
I get that.
And they won't even give themselves a go.
Yep.
So getting back to what I was asking earlier, you do this full time. This is your career. So
support for the Cult of Conspiracy is brought to you by Manscaped, who is best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code CULT at manscaped.com.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, if you've ever had an issue and you nicked yourself while you were taking care of the below-the-waist grooming, I'm going to tell you now, Manscaped has got the tools to handle that job, man. You got to use the right tool for the job, especially a job as precious as this.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CULT at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code CULT. Unlock your confidence. Always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
So what part of Australia do you live?
I live on the Gold Coast, which is on the East Coast, and it's beautiful.
So
it is absolutely stunning there.
We had a guest on the show a while back who was from Australia. He was telling us about these crazy lockdown mandates that they had back when vid was still a thing that people were worried about. How did that affect your business? Or is this something that you're able to do over the phone and Zoom?
It depends which sessions, but I can do them over Zoom. But in the lockdowns where we live, so he would have been talking about Melbourne and Sydney
and
the bigger
cities.
Yeah, so that was bad. That they actually got locked down for the longest time in any city on earth. But up on the Gold Coast, because we're actually quite a liberal city, we didn't actually go into lockdowns. Technically we did for about 2 weeks.
I think liberal means something different in Australia.
I think it might.
It does. It does, yeah. Here it means sort of more free. Oh, hang on. Sorry.
You're good.
It's
a handsome devil.
So there was 2 weeks of one. There was two lots of 1 week lockdown, but nobody actually really took it seriously. So everybody just went to work anyway.
Sounds a lot like Americans.
Sounds a lot like Louisiana.
Really. Yeah. I'm not going to say America. I will say Louisiana, at least the South.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, because everybody thought, well, this is just ridiculous. You know, there were some people that took it really seriously, but the majority of us here on the Gold Coast just went, what are you talking about? Like, and we just moved on with our lives. So it didn't affect me at all.
Excellent.
That's good to
know. Which was awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. That's because we've got a different lifestyle up here. It's very sunny. It's sunny probably 90% of the time. People eat healthy. We exercise a lot. It's a very healthy lifestyle up here. We got lots of vitamin D. So people are generally healthier up here. So we have the attitude of, well, if we get sick, well, then we trust out and we back our own immune system to get over it.
And that's pretty much your whole community. It feels the same way.
Man, that's exactly how it should be.
That's the general thoughts. Yeah. Yeah. It's called taking responsibility for your own health.
Yeah.
I feel like the Gold Coast is a well-done version of California.
If California
was done correctly,
wasn't commie-fornia.
Yeah. Right, legit. Like if they just weren't communists, although y'all don't have guns, so I guess there's the same thing there.
There's actually a lot of
we
people.
We don't have guns.
Yeah, I know. Y'all, it's ridiculous. The guy we had on the show, he got he's getting sentenced with jail time possibly because he had a pair of foam nunchucks. Australia's got
really?
That's a federal offense in Australia.
Yeah.
He probably would. That. Yeah. He probably won't go to jail. He'll probably get a fine and that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they were slapping him with other stuff because he has a podcast and he spreading dissidents or some foolishness.
Inciting riots.
Right.
Yeah. So insane,
yeah,
man.
It's some bullshit like that. Yeah.
It's always some bullshit, man. But that's how the enemy works, dude. They just make it seem like you're the bad guy every single time. Meanwhile, they're the ones that are, you know, kind of spreading the fear and trying to take control and telling you, you know, the way you think, you know, you're this name and this name and this name. It's just a bunch of name-calling bullshit.
Mm. Really, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's just control.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about.
Mm. Absolutely.
When you really narrow it all down, it comes down to that one word, control.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of, I'm very curious. You kind of left us off on a high note there whenever you were talking about the guy that was channeling the ET and he was talking about COVID and stuff. What did the ET say? Are you allowed to say that? Like, did he say that the COVID was like nonsense, or what was kind of the feeling with that?
It was basically people see things as good and bad, but it was basically a way to get people to divide themselves, whether they're going to stay in the 3D world or they're going to move up to the 4D or the 5D. And people have a choice. So, but it's really it's all about wakening people up. It's all about shaking people up and just getting them to wake up and go, listen, you know, you don't have to be a sheep anymore. You know, you don't have to, even though some people have to get the jab for their job to keep their career and all that sort of stuff, which is okay. But it's still realizing that they're a human being and they can think for themselves as well as you know, being a good citizen or however it's perceived.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my perception is I don't care if people have the jab or don't have the jab. Like, I'm completely sitting on the fence, just neutral observer. That's not my role to be on one side or the other. But if people want to make that decision, well, then the ones on this side just accept it and be like, okay. But then on this side, if these ones make a decision not to get it, just be accepting and just go, okay. Because both sides have a different perception and both sides think that they're doing the right thing.
Both sides have valid points.
They're doing the right thing for themselves and for their family.
Right.
So they're both coming from the same aspect. The problem is that both sides of the fence on that come from this. They use the same energy to manipulate decisions. So they'll all come from fear and guilt. So this side over here that take the jab and the government will say, you know, if you don't get the jab, well, then you're going to die. And they'll show people a hideous way to die. So that's the number one fear of people is dying. Number two fear is the way they're going to die.
Mm.
So if they're seeing that, you know, well, then they don't want to die like that. So then they'll go and get it. So they've sort of all lost their own decision-making because they're putting all their faith into the government and into authoritative figures, basically. Which is okay. So that's how they use it. So they use fear. But on this side, the ones that are so anti against it, they'll use fear as well, because they'll make up bullshit and say, oh, well, it's got all this nanotechnology in it and it's going to do this and it's going to do that. They don't know that. They're just guessing.
Right.
So they're coming from, fear, and they're coming from fear. It's kind of ridiculous.
Right. There is kind of a little bit of fuckery on both sides. I've heard every single possible conspiracy about the jab and about COVID that there is.
You would do.
Has been so many stories about what it could be. There was a guy that we had on the show, God bless him. I mean, I think that he had good intentions, who said that everybody that got the jab is going to be dead in 5 years.
Yeah.
That didn't sit right with me, dude. I'm sorry. I'm fully against it. Personally, I'm just throwing that out there. We've stated that before.
Right.
I think that, you know,
I haven't had it personally.
Yeah, good. Same.
But at the same time, I hate how everything got politicized.
Yeah.
All right. Hear me out. If this sickness came and it was that at the time, keep in mind, we're going off of the information that we had available at the time, right? We didn't know that it was the sniffles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We didn't know if it was literally a death sentence and it was the return of the Black Plague. Mm-hmm. Okay. We as a society had no clue what we were dealing with. And then when things got out and when things played out the way that they went, instead of everybody saying like, hey, this is a real problem, do you want to take the jab? Nah, I'm going to wait and see. It's not tested yet. Yada, yada. All right, cool. It was about body autonomy, right?
Right, right.
Why did the government have to get involved with – did they get involved with flu shots every year?
I mean,
involved with tuberculosis treatment?
Not I see yet. Billboards and stuff like that, but yeah.
No, there's ad campaigns, sure. Right, of course. But it's not the same as them offering to pay you to get the jab or threatening your livelihood if you don't – you know what I'm saying?
Or you get some free donuts.
Exactly. It got so weird and it got so politicized and it got so, well, you're with us or you're against us. Like, why did this become a thing?
Yeah.
And that was the whole point.
And I wasn't a huge fan of that. And I think that probably did rub people hard, you know, the wrong way.
But I mean, you see it. Everything gets politicized.
And everything does. And, you know, it doesn't matter whatever your perspective is. Maybe it's a religious perspective. Maybe you trust in the government. Maybe it's you believe in QAnon. Maybe you believe that Hillary Clinton's a nice woman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many different beliefs out there that, you know, it's kind of like we all have this intuition. We have this gut feeling. Whatever that gut feeling is, it drives us. And unfortunately, sometimes outside fear can take hold of that and cause you to change directions a little bit. I mean, I think that, you know, kind of getting in touch with yourself and kind of stabilizing yourself, standing for something and saying, all right, well, look, I'm going to make decisions based off of my own decisions, of all the research that I've done. I've looked into everything and then I'll make a decision, you know, and it shouldn't just be like your favorite actor calling you a narcissistic, whatever kind of name.
That's right.
You know, and I don't know. It's just the absolute mental manipulation around the entire thing. And that's what kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Not that that's what kind of steered me away from it, but it caused me to look into it even further.
Right.
You know?
Just think for yourself. Just think for yourself and make your own decision.
Absolutely. And so whenever you're doing these hypnotherapy sessions, have you seen somebody who like people who have turned their lives around as a result of these sessions with you personally? I mean, not even just the clinical ones, but let's say somebody, you know, talked to their higher self, or maybe they saw a past life that they don't want to repeat, you know, have you experienced things like that?
That's what it's all about. Yeah. It really changes people. Yeah. Really changes people. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. Some people in a QHHT session, some people will connect to their higher self, or which I personally think is that's your gut feeling. Everybody knows what their gut feeling is. Most people don't listen to it. But that's what QHHT is. It's all about connecting to that gut feeling and giving that gut feeling a voice, and just letting that gut feeling just say what it needs to say. Yeah. Or some people will connect to, if they're spiritual, they'll connect to maybe a passed over loved one or an angel or a guide or something like that. Yeah. Sometimes people will have a disease or something going on in their life, and they just they just can't work it out. There's no logical reason for it. So then they'll go back into a past life. Even if they don't think that it's real, it doesn't matter if you think that it's real or not. As long as people get the result that they're after, that's all I care about. I'm not there to try and convince somebody that it's real. But as long as they get, you know, they heal their disease or their family situation or something like that, it's just amazing how the universe works. I'll give you an example. So I could see somebody and they could be a guy and their fathers just hated them. From the moment they were born, hated them. Their childhood was just horrific. Getting beaten, getting, you know, lots of different things. Right. So they might come in because they want to heal that, but they also want to know why their father was such an asshole.
Mm.
So in their mind or their imagination or whatever, they might go back to a past life and they might have been really bad to him because, you know, in a past life, the roles can reverse and he could have been the dad and, you know, the dad now could have been his son and he could have been an asshole to him.
Mm.
So then it's just a balancing act. Or, you know, they could see two or three past lives and then their father was always the father and they were always the son. And then there was – so there's something going on there. There's a repeat pattern going on there. So then I'll just talk to their higher self or their gut intuition or the universe or God or whatever you want to call it. But I'll be asking what's going on there. Like what is this? Like there's an energy there that's not cool. Like the father's been such an asshole to him. Why? And I'll just let their higher self, which is a higher perspective, talk. And sometimes it might be a karma thing if you're into karma. Sometimes if you believe that people are just here to learn lessons or to teach, sometimes it might be a lesson in acceptance and forgiveness because they could have five or six past lives and the son's never forgiven the dad for being an asshole. So from a spiritual point of view or a soul point of view, he hasn't learned his lessons. So if that was the case, I would be asking, well, what's the best way to forgive and what is he holding on to? Because he'll be holding on to a lot of hurt, a lot of anger, a lot of resentment. There'll be lots of stuff that's going on in there. Or because of his dad. So then we're just trying to get a higher perspective. So then we'll go through the therapy side of things. But the amount of times that would happen, he'll release, he'll finally let it go. So then when he talks about his dad, he just won't have that emotion attached to it anymore. But the amount of times that would happen, and within maybe 2 days, maybe a week, you'd be absolutely amazed at how many people, sometimes it's right after the session, which really freaks me out. He'll get it because I'm saying this because this has actually happened. Right after the session, he got a phone call and it was his dad. And I was like, take it, mate, just take it. He's like, I haven't heard from my dad for 20 years.
Whoa.
And then he'll talk to his dad and his dad was just saying, I'm so sorry, I've just realized what I've done. And his dad would be so apologetic and his dad would be crying and he'd just be like, you know what, I've just had this session and, yeah, I've already forgiven you and it's all good. And they'll start a brand new relationship and they'll actually get really, really tight, which is amazing. But it happens over and over and over again, you know?
Yeah, I find amazing. That, you know, I've thought about, you know, I'm – John, I think it's been a little while since obviously it's been a little while since we've talked, but so I'm engaged, I have a fiance, she's pregnant, and I can't tell you how many times, not just with her, but mainly with her, I'll just be thinking about her, and I get a phone call out of nowhere. I'll be thinking about Jacob, I'll get a text from him, you know what I'm saying? I'll be thinking about, you know, just any friends and or my cousin or somebody like that, and I'll get a text or a phone call. And I'm like,
that's what? Because you're tapping into the ethereal.
Yes, a little bit of telepathy going on there or something. And so I imagine that there's a lot more emotion, a lot more tappability in one of these sessions than just, you know, just a simple thought of me thinking about you, then you call.
See, it messes me up whenever you put that towards, all right, growing up, FX used to have every weekend would be like a whole movie marathon of like a particular movie at a certain time. I would be thinking about random Tuesday. I'd be like, dang, you know, I wish I could see like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen right now.
Yes.
That Friday it'd be on. Or I'll be thinking of a song in my head. I'll get in my car and turn my phone on. Boom, it was on there. My music wasn't even pulled up and the song starts playing.
Dude, our ability to tap into these things.
You're powerful.
Our third eyes are open, bro.
They're all the way open, baby. That's how we roll. Yes. And I feel like, you know, the more you kind of get in tune with whatever that is, your ethereal self, I mean, your astral body, your soul, your subconscious, whatever that is, maybe it's God itself. Maybe it's a little spark of God. I think that the more we get in tune with all that and we kind of take a couple of steps away from all the materialistic things and we search a little bit deeper within ourselves, also, you know, within the universe, like looking for answers. Maybe it's God, maybe it's the universe, whatever. I think the more we can tap into that, dude, the more like fulfilled our lives will be. How many people out there are so stressed out, so, you know, on all these pills and like, you know, for anxiety and stuff like that? I think, dude, if you just get in touch with yourself, you'd like yourself a lot more.
Yeah.
And this is a great way. And especially visiting the past lives. Personally, that's my favorite thing to do, is visiting the past lives, because, dude, there's so many cool little details. Like, there was a person I did a session with yesterday, and dude, she had a medallion that had like some magical powers to it, and she was able to find like ley lines in the land, and I was like, what the fuck is going on here? It was so cool. And that's so pretty sick. Dude, there's so many cool past lives. It was like the medieval times. It's like,
dude, with all the shit that I'm into, if I ever let you take me on a past life regression, I better be in medieval Europe.
Dude,
shit that I do and fighting and the all of that and how I'm a knight.
Yeah.
Like, legit.
For sure. That'd be better. Sweet.
If I go in some past life and I end up like being a farmer in ancient Russia, I'm going to be so pissed.
I mean, but that's the beauty of it, is that, you know, John,
that's
I mean,
the beauty of it.
Is it your belief that we've had hundreds, if not thousands, of past lives? What do you think about that?
It's different for everybody. Some people have, and you can just tell them. You can tell an old soul. You can just tell someone that this isn't their first time around. Sometimes you can tell it in a little kid.
Yeah.
They're just wise. That's how I see it. They're just wise beyond their years. You could get an 18-year-old kid or something, and a 70-year-old would be going to ask advice from an 18-year-old kid. Like, that kid's obviously an old soul. This isn't the first time that they've been on this rodeo.
Yeah.
Whereas a new soul, sometimes a new soul having an earthly experience, you can actually spot them as well. They're very easy to spot. They don't like being here. They just don't like Earth. They can't control their emotions. They're just up and down, and they're all over the place. They can't hold a job. They just don't fit into society at all. Some of them actually look like ETs. Like, when you really stand back and sort of look at them, you're just like, man, I feel so sorry for you. And they just want to – they don't want to commit suicide or anything like that, but they don't want to be here. They want to go home, but they don't know where their home is. I really feel for them. But most of them are here just to have a human experience, just to see how hard it is. Because out of all the places in the universe, because there's trillions upon trillions of places in the universe, Earth is the hardest one. And being a human being is the hardest experience, because we're the only ones that feel the full range of emotions. It's the emotions that get to the human being.
Yes, definitely. And that's, you know, that's that kind of plays into exactly what we've been talking about, is that our emotions are really kind of in control. And so I think about, like, dude, I think about these beings, call them ETs, aliens, maybe it's invisible Bigfoot, who knows. I think, like, so
they're cool.
they know how to play on our emotions, obviously. That would be some form of guiding us in a specific direction. Maybe we don't know what we need to do, and then they give us an emotion, or they give us some kind of sign or something like that, and we're like, oh, okay, now it all clicks, and we don't really know where it came from. Maybe it just happened from our perspective by chance. Maybe it's like, oh, there's no way that that was somebody just set that up. Like, that was just so, like, out of nowhere. Yeah, some kind of synchronistic thing. It doesn't make any... I can't tell you how many freaking synchronicities I see all the time, every single time, like every day.
That's because you're aware of them now.
Yes, all the time, dude. And they always come in the same bunches. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm looking at a, if I look at a clock and it's 5:55, I'm like, oh shit, all right. And then I'll be driving down the road. Oh, look, there's a 555 on a license plate. Oh, look, it's 55 miles per hour. Oh, look, there's a lawyer billboard and his phone number is 555-5555. Right. You know, and it always comes in strange bunches. So then you're like, oh shit, well now I got to look up to see what 555, the angel number or whatever it means, because I don't know what any of that stuff means. And then you look it up and it's like, oh, well, your angel's just here to help you. But I feel like they say that for every single number, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think about all those numbers? Do you look into like seeing repetitive, you know, synchronistic numbers like that, John?
Yeah. Yeah. My one's 911, which is a really unusual one. Yeah.
I was say that's not y'all's emergency hotline in Australia, correct?
No, that's not the emergency hotline in Australia. No.
What is y'all's?
I think it's 000.
000 and somebody's picking up, send an ambulance to you and stuff.
Yeah.
See, 911 is our emergency hotline.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's wild.
That is kind of crazy. Huh. So 911, what do you think the significance of that is?
It's
Al-Qaeda.
Always. No, it's for me, it's always be your true authentic self. And that's it. That's the message. Never forget to be yourself. Which is awesome. And I resonate with it. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
I could dig that.
Just reminds me of Audio Slave, dude. Be yourself is all. I'm not going to go there.
You know, I actually do a pretty good Chris Cornell singing.
R.I.P.
He's amazing.
Oh, my God.
He's one of my favorite singers ever.
Yeah. So sad when he died.
Yep. Probably hunted down by the CIA.
Oh, I guarantee it because him and Chester. Dude, and
we've been asked to do another episode on that, by the way.
I would love to because there's been six artists confirmed. Also, Anthony Bourdain was on the same committee.
Yep.
And they were going after the sex trafficking of children.
Of course.
And all of them ended up committing suicide in very similar ways.
Which, by the way, good riddance, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, yeah. She about to
get You know what you could do?
What's that?
You know what you could do is you could have a QHST session and one of you could go under and ask that question and go, what was going on there? And you'll see things from a much higher perspective and you'll be able to tap into it.
All right. I'll let you and you'll get
all
me.
The answers for that.
Let's go, dude.
I'll let you hypnotize me I could go and channel Chris Cornell and ask him questions.
Yeah.
Or something similar. I don't know how it works, but you do. So.
Yeah, dude. Mm. And you know, there's like
go and have fun with it.
There's a bunch of his lyrics that are even like that kind of tell the tale. You know, like, because back in the 90s, it was all like mumble rock.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But you look at the lyrics behind the songs and there was actual lyricism being done. There was actually a message they were trying to get out. These days, they just figured out what code works for your genre. Country music. All right. We got 15 things we have to mention in this song, right? Or it's not going to fly. Rap music, we have to mention these things for this song to succeed. Rock, same thing. They found what little cheat codes, what sounds, what frequencies to run with, and they know what song's going to be a banger and which one's not.
The Illuminati.
The 90s, right, but in the 90s, it was still very much artist-influenced.
Mm.
The corporations might have controlled the direction that it went, but as far as the songs that were being put out, I'm not saying like Britney Spears by any means, but like you look at...
Alanis Morissette. That's what I think.
Or Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Or what was another
big a story. Maynard James Keenan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, there's always you know, things are just constantly evolving. And honestly, I feel like the music that we listen to on the radio, my God, it is absolutely horrible. And I think that it is the most mind control. Now,
oh, yeah.
John, I mean, you've been doing hypnosis for quite a while, a little bit longer than, I mean, a lot longer than me. Whenever you see things flashing on the TV, whenever you see things, you know, hear things on the radio, maybe anywhere, social media, whatever, are you thinking, wow, they're really trying to hypnotize these people? They're really trying to make them just zone out and pan into what we're talking about. Do you ever feel that way? Because I know I do.
Yeah. The TV is the best hypnotist ever created in the world. You just look at little kids just watching a TV and they just zoned in.
Yep.
Yeah. They did a study, I think it was in 2003 or 2004. I know this one. And that they did it with like 1,000 people. And there was not one person out of that 1,000 that watched TV for more than 60 seconds and their brainwaves dropped and they were zoned in. So they were under. Even though people don't understand what being hypnotized or being under is, but their brainwaves dropped. So then they were actually hypnotized. So that TV was hypnotizing them. So then that means that their messages will get in a lot easier.
And this is why we see.
It's really interesting, yeah.
And this is why we see a lot of subliminal messages, because it's speaking straight up to your subconscious.
Totally, and it's over and over and over again. And then what happens is the brain, if it sees something and hears something, it may not believe it. But if it goes over and over and over again, and if it's seeing evidence of it, it'll wind in there. But then when you go in your car or you listen to your radio and it's the same message, it's only a matter of time before it gets in there. And you'll know that it's getting in there because you'll feel an emotion attached to that message. So if you hear that message or see that and you're like, oh my God, or it's fear or it's, I don't want to do that. It's getting in there because it's revoking an emotion, which is what it wants. Yeah. Man. Because people, and then the more they get into that emotion, the more people will be hooked to it. So then they'll watch it more and they'll watch it again and they'll watch it again. And then all their friends are watching the same thing and listening to the same things, because people attract people with their same mindset. Because me personally, I don't tend to watch much TV or radio. Every now and then I'll watch the news purely for entertainment's sake.
Right.
And because I find it hilarious. I find it absolutely hilarious. It's the funniest show ever. And I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe that people like this bullshit.
Right.
And I'm just laughing at it.
And you're talking about how the TV will hypnotize us. I'm telling you, they start at such a young age. So look, I want you to do this whenever you finally have your baby.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There's a YouTube video called The Happy Song.
Okay.
It was literally engineered to make a crying baby stop and chill and be happy.
Yeah.
It's like 2 minutes long, very simple lyrics. The little video is just it's shitty animation, but that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, doesn't matter how pissed off my son is, if I put that song on my phone, he will snatch the phone from me and he's locked in. There's a 10-hour loop of it.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to talk about subliminal messaging? I guarantee that thing is chock full of it because it was engineered to do so.
Dude, there's so many things out there that are completely geared towards kids, obviously, especially with the little cartoons. Now, there's this one cartoon that my little niece can't get enough of, and I absolutely hate it.
It
drives me insane. Freaking Cocomelon.
Oh, no.
Dude, and so I told my fiance, I told Louisa, I was like, dude, our son is never going to watch this crap. And so I did a little research on Cocomelon as to why kids love it so much. Do you know why?
I feel like I knew this. Go ahead.
So kids' minds will, if they're staring at one thing, like we don't have different camera angles. We're not constantly switching back and forth from different camera angles.
Right.
We don't have a flicker rate or anything like that. What you're seeing is what's happening. We're not trying to entertain your subconscious mind with weird images, right?
Right.
With Cocomelon, and I can't remember exactly, but there is a certain flicker rate is designed to hypnotize them. It's designed that way.
Yeah.
And it's the higher the flicker rate, the easier it is to hypnotize something.
Yep.
And so, and it's the same thing with the camera angles. Now, a typical cartoon that you watch it'll go, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds, something like that, until it switches camera angles. Even if it's just a cartoon, it'll just show you a different side of the street or whatever, right? Cocomelon, they do it literally once every 1.5 seconds.
Yeah.
1.5 seconds, and it's flipping to another screen, and the flicker rate.
Yeah.
And so it's literally designed to grab your attention if you're a little kid. And what's on Cocomelon, dude? Nothing but a bunch of bullshit. It's not teaching your kid anything. It's just to keep them busy.
Have you ever heard of Mr. Beast?
Yeah.
Very famous YouTuber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. This guy has broken down how to make a successful YouTube video so well that, like, they have done whole studies on, like, all right, person walking behind me with a red shirt got this much more attention over this person wearing a blue shirt walking behind me. Literally everything down to that much of a microscopic level. And that's why he gets the views that he does, because he has broken it down to a science. He cracked the code.
Wow.
He's also the guy that does, he's like 100 different languages.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he gets people from there to, like, translate, so that's actual real interpretations, because, like, only 10% of the world speaks English.
Really?
So you're missing out, allegedly. Huh. So you're missing out, or, like, fluently enough to, like, watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're missing out on 90% of humanity because you won't have your shit translated. And so he hired a whole team of translators. This dude's making stupid money off of just YouTube.
Genius.
But that's it. He cracked the algorithm, like, on a mental scale.
You know what I mean? Yes. Playing into things that your mind doesn't even pick up on.
What lighting does better? What frequency is my voice?
It's your brain.
Do I need to speak higher? Do I need to speak lower? All of that.
Unreal, dude. Yeah. The science that goes into this stuff.
So what happens is with the flicking, that causes a thing called eye lock. So that means that the child will lock onto something. And so straight away, it's the same state as when somebody daydreams and they're staring at something, but they don't know that they're staring. And you can go like this.
Yeah.
They're really, really deep.
Yeah.
Because they're not even aware of what they're staring at. So they've actually hypnotized themselves. But the TV has worked that out really, really quickly. So that cartoon that you're talking about will have it really, really fast. So then the child goes straight into eye lock really, really fast. And then they'll change perspective because that's stimulating the brain. So then they're like this, and then it's still stimulating. So it's all it is attention, is focusing the attention on the program. So then what they do is their brain waves will drop. So then they won't, and all they'll do is focus on what they're watching and what they're listening to. So that's why you'll be yelling at them and they won't hear you. They're deep in hypnosis into that show, because you could ask them about that show and they'll retain a lot of that information. Whereas you could be talking to them while that show's on. They're not even listening to you, man.
Right.
And I always say, like, they're quite deep. Men will go really, really deep into hypnosis on TV, especially when they're watching a sports show.
Yep.
Because most men are into sports.
That's me all the way.
You know what? It's been called the men's nothing box in their head. Have you heard that expression as far as, like, how men's brains are versus how women's brains are?
They're wired differently.
Exactly. Women's brains are more like a plate of spaghetti where everything is connected to everything and it's all tied together with emotion. Men's brains are more like a waffle where everything has its own separate compartment and things don't touch. But our favorite box is the nothing box, because we take it, we can go there while we're fishing, watching a sport, doing some sort of mindless task, and we're just in our zone, man.
But what's crazy is that in that nothing box, as you say, like, I kind of get that way. Like, yeah, like whenever I'm fishing, whenever I'm driving, stuff like that. And it's kind of like it's a very comfortable place to go. But what's crazy is that then at that point, it's your subconscious mind that is taking control. Right. Your subconscious mind is now in the driver's seat. And so that's why you're able to learn so much better. Like, if whenever you're fishing, you're just in that relaxed state of mind and you're like, man, this fucking lure isn't worth a shit. I need to get something a little bit better. Maybe you don't even remember having that thought. But the next time you're at Walmart, oh, damn, I got to go get this lure because I know that one works a lot better. And so there's a lot of weird things that our subconscious mind is kind of taking the wheel and steering a little bit. You know what I was thinking about, John, is whenever you were talking about, whenever we were talking about the flicker rate and stuff, dude, I might go as far as to say that the flicker rate along with the different camera angles on the cartoons and stuff like that, I might go as far as to say is maybe that what that that sounds like a reasonable thing as to or a reasonable reason why ADHD is a thing. Because if the child's mind is constantly flickering right, like flickering at that stuff, right, and it's constantly it's paying
constantly
attention,
constantly stimulated,
it's just like a mouse in a trap, dude. It's going to find a way out. And so,
what if ADD is on the rise because of our diet, right? So babies are born with ADD, and now the media sources have had to adapt to keep kids interested. Otherwise, they just won't watch the show anymore because, oh, well, it's okay. But that one show is boom, 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 boom. The kid stays focused on.
Damn.
Right?
You went deeper on that one.
I'm just thinking, yeah. Hypothetically speaking, we know that our food sources got really shitty in the last century.
Right, right.
And now more than ever, kids have ADD. Granted, I'm sure they had kids in the 30s and 40s with ADD. I'm sure. But we never heard about it. Mm. And then the cure for ADD is putting amphetamines in your body at the age of like 6.
I don't agree with it personally. Right? But.
And so they know that that's what they're dealing with. So to keep themselves competitive, they have to shift their like y'all said, the twitch rate, flash
the flicker rate.
Flicker rate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Damn. I guess you could go there too. So, yeah, John, I mean, I just think that there's so much involved, especially being a hypnotist, hypnotherapist, hypnotherapist, things that we
did you say hypnoterrorist?
I didn't mean to say that if I did. That's a terrible, terrible thing.
I love
thing.
It.
I don't think you did.
Okay, okay.
Oh, man. I messed up. Right, heard you. I'm sorry.
Thank
I'm
you,
sorry.
John. Thank you. Thank you. Got
I've been called a lot
there.
Worse. That's all good.
Hell yeah.
But, like, what I love about this whole thing is that we do catch on to little things that maybe other people might not catch on to. Because whenever we're in the middle of one of these sessions, we have to pay attention to every single little detail. I mean, this woman, I mean, in my last session, she literally just mentioned that she just had a pendant. She wasn't going to say nothing special about it until I had to go into more detail. I was like, anytime there's ever been a pendant in all of history, it's always had some kind of power to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's these little things that we got to pay attention to. And to have that mind and understand and break down certain things, dude, it's invaluable to the show. It's invaluable to it, I would say. So, and also invaluable to your life, dude, because whenever you're hypnotized, now you're paying more attention to certain things. I can't tell you, dude.
It's just focusing, yeah.
Yeah, there's been so many things where I'll just be blahing through the day and a million things have happened, but I'm just like not even paying attention. But then you go through one of these sessions or like, and you're kind of picking apart all the details and everything like that and trying to understand somebody's mind also while helping them. But at the same time, you're kind of, doing surgery on their mind.
You're in the
a little
zone
bit.
As well.
Yeah, you're in the zone. It causes me to, you know, pay more attention. So it's definitely caused me to pick up on a lot of things. What do you think, kind of veering off of that, where do you think we're headed in the future, dude, as like some kind of, as just as a people, do you think that we're kind of going to be vaulted into being more spiritual beings eventually? I know that, you know, a lot of us are.
I think there's going to be a split.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you
say
that?
I think there's going to be a big split. I think that the people that are caught in the system will stay in the system, and the system is created to strive and achieve to get the biggest house, the biggest car, have the most money, but sacrifice everything for that. So don't see your kids, don't spend family, just achieve. And then when you finally do achieve, well, then that's when you find happiness. But that's the illusion, because you won't find happiness, because then you've got to set a higher bar. A lot of human beings are sucked into that reality now. And then they'll get sick and they lose their family and all that sort of stuff. Whereas I think a lot of people are chasing a more simpler life. Like, a lot of people's dreams are just to get a block of land, a self-sufficient home that's all solar powered, or it doesn't have to rely on a power source. They have their own water. They'll have their own food source. They'll have their own garden and that. So then they're not relying on anyone. They don't even need to make an income because everything's self-sufficient. And then they can just live in peace, and then they'll have the freedom of time, and then they can if they want to go to the beach, they can go to the beach for the day because they don't have to worry about a food source because they've got their food, because they've created food. They don't have to worry about electricity because they've got their own power source. I think a lot of people are really craving for that. And they're not too worried about the big flash car. Like, I don't care if I've got a Ferrari. I've got a car that can get around and it's all good. I don't care. Whereas some people go, oh, if I don't have a Ferrari, well, then I feel like shit. That's because society wants to bring you down because society wants you to buy their product. And the way that they buy your product is to make you not feel good enough. So you need this.
Yeah, because there's always something new coming out. You know what I mean? There's always that one thing. Yeah, and
that and they'll sell you that you need it. Yeah, so I believe that there's going to be a massive split, and that split's happening now. But the first split is people's consciousness. People are actually starting to be aware of, oh, hang on, I'm going down this route. I don't need to go down this route. You look at how many people are simplifying their life. They're just making it simple. Yeah. People are so stressed out because they've complicated their life. What are you doing that you don't need to do? Well, get rid of it. You know? My kids do 7 kinds of sports. Why? That's because they've gotten into a habit of being busy. Do they need to do 7 kinds of sports? Or can they just focus on 1 or 2 that they really actually love? Have you actually talked to your kid and seen what they actually love and what they don't love? Or are you just in the habit of being busy because all your friends are busy?
Yeah, it doesn't really pay to be a worker bee. You know, I feel like the more things we buy, the more we're enslaving ourselves. Like there used to be slavery.
You're getting sucked in.
There used to be slavery in this country. And this is why, you know, people talk about Juneteenth and all that kind of stuff.
It's still slavery. It's just that they pay more.
Yeah, you pay more with the taxes and everything else. But, dude, honestly, our biggest slave owners are ourselves.
No doubt.
That's just the way it is. I mean, unfortunately, we can say, you know, screw the government. They're taxing us without representation. It is very true. But, dude, our biggest enemy is ourselves. It always has been.
Yeah.
It always has been.
I don't know, man. Like you're saying, whenever you stay busy like that, I've learned about myself that if I don't stay busy, I start to get lackadaisical, and then everything starts to suffer as a result. The only way, for me personally, the only way I could stay constantly going productive is to constantly keep my hands busy, you know? And maybe that's the ADD in me as well. It becomes a habit. Yeah.
That's a habit.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of what is it? Something that's in motion tends to stay in motion or whatever.
Right, but that's the other thing too. I don't let it stress me out. I have a very laid-back approach to life in general. So I think that's good.
It's finding a balance.
Exactly. Now, I know a lot of people that overdo it and they overextend themselves and they have to be on Xanax. And I know those people are out there. But I also think that's very case-to-case.
Tell the people where they can find you. If they want a hypnotherapy session from you. See what it's like from an Aussie man such as yourself.
Yeah, cool. Just look me up on YouTube. It's John McLucky, QHHT, level 3. Or you can go to my website, which is goldcoast-hypnotherapy.com. Or just Google me. Just Google John McLucky, and there's heaps of my stuff on there. Just on Google, yeah.
Lovely,
or
lovely.
Facebook, whatever. Just give me a message or an email.
And John is the man. He has met Dolores Cannon's daughter, Julia. You've come in contact with Suzanne Spooner. These are like massive names of hypnotists. So you're definitely up there. You know what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. So I just want to say thank you for, you know, making some time to come on the Cult of Conspiracy, man.
Pleasure. Pleasure. And I'm so stoked for you for your channel, man. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. We're just going to keep on chugging along, you know.
Absolutely.
And we're going to
just keep doing your thing, man, and just be you. That's all you got to do.
Absolutely, man.
Absolutely. That's the way we live, baby.
That's right.
And we're just going to keep on chugging along until the next episode. But until next time, this was another beautiful episode of The Cult of Conspiracy. And my name's Jonathan.
I'm Jacob.
And this was the absolute stud, John McLucky. Thank you so much for coming on the show, brother.
Pleasure.
there's one very important, extremely vital piece of information that I just need you to do as soon as humanly possible. Open up that third eye.